You're tuning in to Going Public on KRCU, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. The Missouri Hospital Association released its annual workforce report this month, finding that staff nurses in Missouri had the highest vacancy rate in the 16 years of the survey's existence. And in Southeast Missouri, registered nurse vacancies have more than doubled in the last year. Jeannie Fadler, Vice President of Patient Care Services at St. Francis Medical Center, explains why these numbers are high and how St. Francis is tackling the issue. The Missouri Hospital Association released its annual workforce report, and one of the main findings was that staff nurses had the highest vacancy across the state at 15.9%. From a statewide approach, why is that so high?
Well, basically, nurses are needed in many different aspects of care delivery today. Years ago, they used to be needed mainly in hospitals and some clinics. But today, there are many other areas where a nurse is needed to practice.
And from what they said about the study, it's quite interesting. They wrote, as a note to this, that this is the highest it's been in the last 16 years that they've done this survey.
Yes, that's pretty alarming. When you look at, we project, because of the aging population, the need for nurses is even going to increase more. So it's alarming that it's increased almost 7% since last year's vacancy rate was conducted.
In Southeast Missouri, the vacancy in registered nurses has more than doubled since last year, from 5.4% to 11.1%. And it's lower than the state average. But can you talk about why the number possibly could have doubled in this region?
At St. Francis Medical Center, our vacancy rate has increased because we have increased need. For example, we've admitted more patients this year into the acute care setting. So I think that there is increased need for services delivered by nurses, and that's one of the things that has driven the vacancy rate up. Another reason for the vacancy rate is we do have several nurses in Southeast Missouri that are reaching retirement age, and they're retiring.
Now, how do you, as a hospital, as a medical center, keep your nurses, one, and then recruit nurses into the facility so that they will stay or come?
Okay, that's a very good question. We've conducted a very aggressive recruitment plan over the last several months, and we've gone out to social media to recruit those nurses. We also utilize, we are a clinical affiliation site for many of the schools and universities, and so we make sure they have a very good experience when the student nurses are there for that experience. But retention is very important, because you certainly want to bring the nurse in, educate them, train them well, and make sure that they are going to stay. So we offer a lot of opportunities for nurses. For example, a nurse may begin in acute care setting into direct practice, but then they may decide to go into a specialty area, such as the critical care area. They may decide to become a surgical nurse, or they may want to go to obstetrics or our neonatal intensive care unit. So we offer them several specialties that they can advance to. We also have a professional advancement program for them. We offer a lot of alternatives and different, we call them shifts that they can work, or different times during the day or weekends that they can work as well. So we try to assess what their needs are and try to meet those needs. Quality of life is very important, so we try to provide a balance between work life and family life.
Now, is rule the issue when it comes to trying to recruit someone here? I mean, Cape Girardeau is fairly large, but if we're talking about smaller settings within the Southeast region here, you know, sometimes the rural setting isn't as appealing. Is that something that you come across at times?
The rural setting, in some cases, can be very appealing to individuals. We've had an opportunity to recruit individuals because they like the out-of-doors activities this area provides. They like our mild climate. But it can be challenging. If you want a nightlife, we've had individuals say, well, it's not really happening in Cape Girardeau. But there are a lot of things that we have available in this area. One thing that's great for this area is it's a great place to bring up a family. And so we try to really make sure those benefits of the area are well known to the individuals we're recruiting, because we are expanding out our recruitment efforts beyond this region. And so we have to certainly look at those areas and what those individuals might be wanting in lifestyle.
Now, we've talked about this a little bit, but how do vacancies affect a hospital, how it's run?
That's a good question, and how it impacts how the hospital is run. Nurses are there to take care of patients, because patients are only hospitalized because they need nursing care. So we have to get very creative in how we support those nurses at the bedside to ensure that our patients receive the care they need and that we are attaining our patient outcomes.
Okay. Now, when we talk about a little bit about the aging population, and that's something that you see at St. Francis. What other things are you seeing that are somewhat of a pattern or a trend that's going on within the hospital?
Well, I think one of the things that's become remarkable is the fact that our patients are in the hospital for much shorter periods of time. And so that's sometimes a challenge to meet the patient's needs during that period of time and get them ready for the next level of care, whether it's going home or it's to another type of care level, such as a nursing home. And so we find that being a trend. We also are making sure that we're caring for the patient across the continuum. We've talked about that for years, but that's very important now, because a lot of patients will have different types of chronic diseases that have to be managed. And so a lot of patient education is needed, family education, and then we never let the patient go, we say. We never discharge them. They're always in our care, and we do a lot of follow-up with the patients and families, even after they're discharged from the hospital.
What are some of the other contributing factors of why there is a registered nursing vacancy?
Another reason for the vacancy, I've already spoken to the increased need, because there are many different areas where nurses can go to work or go into practice and that type of thing. Also, nurses often will begin in an acute care setting, such as a medical surgical unit, but then they will go back to school and become advanced in their practice and become an advanced nurse practitioner. We need those as well, because we have a shortage also of providers in the nation as well. So there's very many different avenues. A lot of times, sometimes they may take a little time off to have a family and then come back. And that is one of the things that we've noticed about our recruitment as of late. We've hired close to 50 nurses within the past few months, and 10 of those are nurses who have previously practiced at the medical center, and they're returning. Another aspect, nurses can work almost anywhere in the world. And a lot of our nurses, after getting experience, want to experience other places in the world, particularly the United States especially. So they may take what we call a traveling nurse position and take 12-week assignments in different communities.
Well, that brings me to this next thing, which I found was kind of interesting in this report. And it says, quote, Missouri has yet to expand the scope of practice for advanced practice registered nurses, which could result in the loss of qualified nurse practitioners to other states. Is Missouri slow to change or adapting to the direction of healthcare in America?
Missouri is one of the few states currently that has limitations in practice for the advanced practice nurse. For example, in the state of Missouri, they have to have a collaborative practice agreement with a physician. And even with that, there are restrictions in their practice. We have worked closely with the Missouri Hospital Association, the Missouri Nurses Association, to assist in legislation to make these changes. I'm convinced that as we have an increased need for providers, especially in our rural communities, that Missouri will change.
Well, how soon will that be, especially with what is going on with the healthcare law as it is kind of in a process of possibly changing to something else instead of the Affordable Care Act?
I can't necessarily project when legislation would change to open up the Nurse Practice Act and provide for more autonomy of our advanced practice nurses. But I can say that even though I can't project when that will happen, I will say the changing environment in healthcare will certainly probably promote those changes.
After the break, we'll hear more from Jenny Thadler, Vice President of Patient Care Services at St. Francis Medical Center.
I'm Ari Shapiro. If you find NPR reliable and comforting, you're not alone. If your old car is a bit less than reliable, well, you're not alone either. Donate your car to us and turn it into the programs you love.
Visit KRCU.org and click on support for all the details.
Welcome back to KRCU's Going Public, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Before the break, my guest, Jenny Thadler, Vice President of Patient Care Services at St. Francis Medical Center, and I were talking about a recent report released by the Missouri Hospital Association, which found an increase in staff nurse vacancies in the state. Here's more from our conversation. Now, the survey looked at 36 hospital occupations as a whole, and the reports of findings addressed the employee turnover rate. And in Missouri, the number has dropped from 18% in 2015 to 16% in 2016. In Southeast Missouri, the turnover is 24.7%. What does this say about our area?
I think it is an indication that those positions that we were looking at, there's a lot of mobility in those positions. And I think it also reflects the fact that those positions are very much in demand, and individuals are looking for other opportunities and a possibility of advancement and that type of thing as they continue in their career. At St. Francis Medical Center, our turnover rate is much, for nurses, is much lower than the state level. Our turnover rate for the average of this year has been 7%, so we are thankful for that.
And is that pretty consistent with St. Francis's track record, or?
Yes, it is. It's been under 10% throughout the last several years.
How do you all make that happen?
I think it's the environment that we're able to provide for the nurses. And they also have a voice in how we deliver care. We have a nursing practice committee that really determines the level of practice and sets the nursing practice standards and the protocols throughout the organization. And I think that they feel that they are a part of the decision making.
Now, with that being said, they're a part of the decision making. They have a voice in this conversation. Have they voiced concerns about maybe possibly with not enough nurses being available because of retirement, or, you know, wanting to seek employment in bigger cities or different states across? Have they voiced concerns that, you know, maybe they're a little overworked and they're short-staffed and, you know, it's just a lot going on with the patient demand and not enough of the supply to meet it?
Yes, nursing is very demanding, and it is a job that you really have to feel passionate about, certainly. And I will say our nurses are phenomenal. They are able to accomplish a lot, meet our patient outcomes that have surpassed some national standards. And they do work really hard. And yes, I will say they are concerned, but yet they are our biggest recruiters. Frequently, I will have nurses come in for interviews and they will say, well, I know so-and-so, they work here. They say it's a great place to practice and there's a lot of opportunities here. And that's why I'm here. So they are certainly our largest recruiting group.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
That was Jeannie Fadler, Vice President of Patient Care Services at St. Francis Medical Center. Last year, the Missouri legislature passed legislation that will require voters to present a government-issued photo ID at the polls starting June 1st. Supporters of the new law say it will prevent potential voter fraud. KRCU's Lindsay Grojean sat down with Cape Girardeau County Clerk Kara Clark Summers to break down what you need to know about it.
Coming up in our next elections, new legislation requires citizens to bring a photo ID issued by the government. So first off, what do citizens need to know before they head to the polls, and how will the process be different from past elections?
Well, Lindsay, first of all, this law was a law that the voters passed last November. They voted on this and passed it, and it takes effect June 1st of this year. So June 1st, 2017, this new law will go into effect. So what they need to bring to the polls now is a non-expired driver's license or a non-expired non-driver's license or a passport or a military ID. So they only have to have one of those forms, but they do need to have one of those forms of a photo identification with them when they go to the polls to vote after June 1st.
All right, let's see. So I know you can't specifically speak on behalf of the legislation, but from your experience as county clerk, what problems or difficulties during elections does this law solve or improve, if that does?
Well, I think it was, I don't want to speak for, on behalf of the legislators, but there were people there that thought, to prevent voter fraud, this would be a second measure for people to have a firm way of knowing the identification of somebody that comes to the polls, and I'm all about making the elections more secure. But we don't want to hinder anybody from voting either. So mm-hmm. I think this gives options for people.
Is there anything else complicated that people would need to know about?
Well, I just think getting the information out to the voters to make sure they have the acceptable forms of identification to vote is very important, because we want to make it easy on our people in the county to vote. And I just want to make sure, and I appreciate you having us on today, to get this information out to our voters. And if they have any questions, they can contact our office. But there are provisions to the law. If they do not have one of those forms, there are other provisions, because we want to make sure that people are allowed to vote when they come to the polls if they're a registered voter.
Yeah. What do people do if they don't have their photo ID at the polls?
So if somebody comes to the polls and they do not have their photo ID, they can sign a provided statement attesting that they do not have a photo ID on them, and they can present one of the following forms that I'm getting ready to mention, and they could still vote. So if they brought in their voter identification card that we send them, an identification from a Missouri University College or Technical School, a current utility bill, bank statement, or government check, or other government document with their name and address on it, they could provide one of those forms of ID and sign the statement, and they still would be allowed to vote if they were a registered voter. And the law allows for a provisional ballot to be voted if they didn't possess a photo ID or have one of the other forms of identification. And then as long as the signature matched the signature on the provisional ballot envelope, that vote would count.
Gotcha. So voters can't be turned away at all?
A voter could not be turned away unless they were not registered to vote.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Also important is the Secretary of State's office is helping people to obtain a free non-driver's license for the purposes of voting, and they have a dedicated hotline for this.
So what do people need to get that?
They would have to have, at the driver's license office, they would have to have proof of name, date of birth, and place of birth, your social security number, you could verbally say that or present the card, and proof of your Missouri residential address. So that could be like utility bill, paycheck, other government check. But if you needed help in obtaining your birth certificate or some other form of identification allowable by law, The Secretary of State's office is willing to pay for that and help you to do that.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you for coming in today.
Okay. Thanks so much.
That was Cape Girardeau County Clerk Kara Clark Summers talking with KRCU's Lindsay Grogene. Sadly, we're out of time today, but you can find these stories and more on our website at krcu.org or find us on iTunes to hear this podcast. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Join me Friday nights at 6 and Sundays at 3 for KRCU's Going Public.